In this episode, I'm going to tell you everything I know about Pinus Palustris Miller. And no, that's not a wizard from North Carolina. That's actually the name of one of our most celebrated trees, the longleaf pine. Welcome to the NC Everything Podcast. I'm your host, Curtis, and this is the show where I talk about everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. If you're a returning listener, then you know I really do talk about everything. And if this is your first time listening, then yes, this episode is going to be about a pine tree. Before I talk about how I came to put together an episode about a pine tree, I want to say that you can follow me on Facebook by using the links below. We have a Facebook group. I have a Facebook group. You can also watch on YouTube if you're listening and you'd rather watch. Or if you're watching and you'd rather listen, I can be found on most podcast players. And you can contact me at thenceverythingpodcast@gmail.com. And there'll be a link for that below. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'm not sure how many of you do that. I don't know if it's that big a deal right now. But I feel like I need to say subscribe, rate, and review. And it really helps the show. It helps listeners find me and it boosts my ratings and you know, you all know how YouTube and stuff like that works. Now, not to get stuck on one thing, but we're back on the hat thing. In that last episode, I had my hat on backwards because I didn't really want to promote the logo that was on that hat. This one here is actually a Myrtle Beach hat. I mentioned that orange was my favorite color. It is an orange Myrtle Beach hat. Myrtle Beach obviously isn't North Carolina, although it is one of my most favorite beaches. North Carolina has beautiful beaches, wonderful beaches. I love North Carolina beaches, but I also love Myrtle Beach, and I know there's some strong opinions about that, but where I stay at Myrtle Beach, I'm not down there, you know, where all the partying's going on. You have Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle. We're in the north part of Myrtle, so we're not quite in North Myrtle, but we are in the quiet section. I'll usually take a little trip down to the loud section and ride through. Everybody rides the strip down there, but I don't really care a whole lot for the partying. I don't get blasted drunk. I don't get spontaneous tattoos or piercings. You know, we ride down there. We'll take a look at the lights and see the lights and listen to the noise. And then we head on back up to our quiet section of Myrtle Beach, but I don't mind wearing this hat. I was at Southport one time a few years ago. And if I ain't mistaken, it said that Myrtle Beach, they kind of consider Myrtle Beach to be in the greater Southport area. So far as I'm concerned, Myrtle Beach is an adopted child of North Carolina, or I'll take it anyway because I love Myrtle Beach. Anyway, that's enough of Myrtle Beach talk. Orange hat, Myrtle Beach hat. I hope you can forgive me. Now, the longleaf pine. I'm doing listener suggestions, and I want to get all my listener suggestions, but I've mentioned before that my listeners, they really like crime. And I like crime. I like true crime, too. Some of my favorite shows are all crime and mystery. But I don't want to overload the show with murder and bad stuff. I do have a few murder suggestions, but I wanted to pepper in some nicer stuff. So because we had a listener, this listener suggestion came in from Will from Clemens, and he suggested the longleaf pine. I don't know how long this episode's going to be, but I put together everything I could find on the longleaf pine. And I'm gonna lie, it was interesting. I just don't know how long the episode was gonna be. So let's go ahead and get into the content. First, I'll say that there are 126 types of pine trees in the world. 49 of them are native to the United States. But today, we're gonna talk about just one, the longleaf pine. I may call it longleaf pine or just pine, but whether I say longleaf pine or pine, just know in this episode, I'm referring to the longleaf pine. The longleaf pine, or Pinus palustris miller, is an evergreen conifer that gets its name from its long leaves. And yes, pine trees don't have leaves, they have needles, but the needles are leaves nonetheless. The needles or leaves, which come in bundles of three, can grow up to 18 inches long. That's why they're a longleaf pine. And speaking of length, a mature longleaf pine can grow up to 100 feet tall and 3 feet in diameter. So I like to do origin stories, and so this is kind of the origin story for the longleaf pine, or at least in the United States, all right? Longleaf pines, they like sandy soil and a lot of sunlight, so as you may guess, they're usually found on the coastal plain. So it's no surprise that when explorers first started arriving here in what would be the Carolinas, all they saw everywhere were these pine trees. It's estimated that before the mass harvesting of longleaf pines, there was as much as 150 million acres of these trees all along the coast from Virginia to Florida through Louisiana and over to Texas. Now, back to the explorers. So they show up and there isn't a whole lot of open land for them to build on, thanks to all these dense pine forests. So naturally, they start clear-cutting areas so they can build. Now they have all these trees cut down, what do they do with them? Luckily for the people, it turns out that these pine trees are pretty good material for construction. So they use this pine lumber, these pine logs, to build their forts and their homes. But that wasn't all. There was also naval stores, and that's a term we don't really use anymore, but naval stores were liquid supplies used to build ships, wooden ships. So yes, longleaf pine wood was used to build ships, but we aren't just talking about lumber. When I say naval stores, I'm talking about rosin, pine oil, tar, pitch, and turpentine. These were all the liquid products made from pine trees that were used for waterproofing and sealing a ship, and also weatherproofing. So let's go through these real quick. And these are just basic definitions. I'm not sure if I got them all right, and there's probably more to say about them. But rosin is just a solid form of liquid resin. You heat the rosin up and it goes back to being resin. It was used kind of like a caulk in between the planks of the ship. Turpentine was distilled resin. It was used for protecting and weatherproofing the wood. You got tar by heating up the pine wood. You heat it up, but you don't set it on fire. You just heat it up and tar comes out of the wood. And tar was used for repelling water and also weatherproofing. Well, word got around pretty quick about this major source of shipbuilding material over in the Carolinas, and it wasn't long before naval stores were being exported back to Europe for their own shipbuilding industry. By the start of the Civil War in 1865, North Carolina was producing 97% of the turpentine used in the United States. And that brings us to the Tar Heels. Now, if you don't know this or you haven't figured it out yet, these naval stores are what led to North Carolina's nickname, the Tar Heel State. North Carolina was a huge producer of naval stores back in the day, and depending on which story you've heard, either during the Revolutionary War or the Civil War, an enemy general referred to the North Carolina boys as Tar Heels. There's also a possible quote referring to the bravery of the North Carolina boys. It's something like, they never run, they can't run because of all the tar on their heels. But anyway, now we're the Tar Heels. Now, like I said, North Carolina was producing 97% of the naval stores in the U.S. Now, all this tar was great for ships, but it wasn't really that great for the longleaf pine. It wasn't so great for slaves either. Where in most Southern history, you'll link slaves with cotton. You know, the cotton was king. Well, that wasn't necessarily the case on the North Carolina coast. The only reason the naval store business grew as big as it did was because of all the African and Native American slaves there to clear the forest and collect all these pine products. Eventually, the longleaf pine would become increasingly harder to find, so people moved on to other types of pine trees. And even today, most people usually plant loblolly pines because they grow so much faster than the longleaf pine. And I'll talk about how long it takes for a longleaf pine to grow here in just a minute. But first, I want to talk about the ecosystem. Now, like I was hinting at, cutting down all these trees was bad news. And just like today, there's money to be made, you know, with lumber. And if you can make a product to make money, a lot of people get hyper-focused on whether or not they can and not so much whether or not they should. So let's break down the end result for this mass destruction of the longleaf pine. We know now why the pine tree was so important to humans, but what about nature? First, how did the pine tree become so widespread in the first place? It's because the tree itself was built for survival. Pine tree seeds are really unique. Animals love to eat the seeds. So the tree itself has adapted three main defenses to this. One, it doesn't drop seeds every year like most trees. No, it drops seeds every 7 years. So animals can't really depend on any one tree for consistent food. Two, when it does drop seeds, it drops millions of them. Way too many for all the seeds to be consumed. And three, when a pine tree seed hits the ground, it starts growing almost immediately rather than laying there through the winter and waiting till next spring like other seeds like acorns do. Now that we have talked about the seeds, let's go back to the actual trees, and I will start with the taproot. The taproot for a pine tree, unlike many other trees, can be up to 15 foot long, and it can grow up to 8 feet just in the first year. And when I say taproot, I mean the main root that usually grows straight down in the ground. When you walk around a tree, you may see other roots kind of on the surface. Those aren't taproots. For a pine tree, you'll probably rarely see a taproot. It's, like I said, it's straight down in the ground. And the reason I say you'll hardly ever see it is because this taproot ensures that the tree will remain standing in all kinds of conditions. So think about all the pine trees you've seen falling over. I bet you those pine trees that you've seen falling over, they didn't fall over at the root like you do an oak tree. Most likely they snapped somewhere along the trunk, and this still takes a tremendous amount of force. The trunk itself is incredibly strong and incredibly flexible. And that's why I say most likely you'll never see the taproot of a pine tree. And then there's fire. Pine trees are naturally fire resistant because of their thick bark. A pine tree can survive temperatures up to 1600 degrees. In fact, the fire actually helps the trees grow. You see, as wildfires move through the woods, they burn everything in their path except for pine trees. After all that underbrush has been burned away, now there is that much more sunlight for the pine tree to grow in, and that much less competition for nutrients from the soil. Even the baby pine trees do pretty well after a fire. The pine saplings are typically covered in a thick layer of dry pine needles. So when a fire comes through, the old needles burn and the young pine saplings live on. Then there's the ecosystem of the pine tree. And when I say ecosystem, I mean the other plants and animals that rely on the pine for their own survival. Scientists have identified around 600 plants in the pine tree's ecosystem. So without the pine tree, it'd be very hard for these other 600 plants to survive. Then there's the animals. There are animals that thrive in pine forests because of the pine, but none more unique than the red cockaded woodpecker. While most woodpeckers make their home in whatever wood they can find, the red cockaded woodpecker, and if I'm saying that wrong, I apologize, the red cockaded woodpecker seeks out the pine tree, and no other tree will do. So as pine tree numbers drop, so do the red cockaded woodpecker numbers. They were put on the endangered species list in 1970. There are also 9 salamander species and 26 frog species that rely on pine forests for survival. And I already mentioned how the seeds are consumed. Hundreds and hundreds of birds and mammals can be found in pine forests living off the seeds. My point is, when the pines are gone, entire ecosystems collapse. And that sounds really awful, but we're not sitting back letting it happen. So what are we doing about it? A lot of efforts being made to bring the longleaf pine back. The Longleaf Alliance, for example, promotes research and education about growing and managing longleaf pines. The U.S. Forest Service performs controlled burns directed at helping the pines grow and survive, kind of like I said with the wildfires. The problem is, and this is about how long it takes the longleaf pine to grow. The problem is, growing a longleaf pine, it's a really long time. I said that the seeds sprout really quickly and the taproot grows really fast in the first year, but the tree itself is a slow grower. It can take up to 150 years to reach its full height. As a seedling, it spends about 10 years in the grass stage, where it looks more like a tuft of grass than it does an actual tree seedling. But we are trying to undo some of the damage that our ancestors did. I always say that doing something is better than nothing, and even if you can't see the results, doing something is always better than doing nothing. And I'll wrap up by talking about the state tree. Yes, the pine tree. In 1963, the North Carolina General Assembly selected the pine tree as the official state tree. The pine tree, it was picked because of its importance to our state's history as well as the importance of wildlife. The General Assembly, though, they didn't pick a certain type of pine tree. They just, out of the 49 native species in the United States, they just chose the pine tree in general. Now, I can tell you, for me, a lot of people, when they're looking for lumber, they're looking for oak, and other types of lumber, not necessarily pine. Pine is usually the cheaper lumber, at least in my experience. But let's forget about the lumber for a minute and think about the pine forest. You can't really see from here, but there's a huge grove of pine trees right over here, and I hope they're here as long as I'm living. A lot of people see the pine trees as, in my experience, a lot of people see the pine trees as kind of a nuisance. They're not as, some people consider them not as pretty as the oak trees and a lot of the hardwoods. But as you can see from this podcast, pine trees themselves are incredibly important, if not to us, definitely to the animals and plants that live in and amongst them. Anyway, that's the end of the longleaf pine episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you again, Will from Clemens, for suggesting that. And I hope that was a nice little break from all the crime and murder. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you are listening or watching. And check out the links below for the Facebook group, the YouTube channel, and the contact button. If you have a suggestion, I will definitely put it in the list. But don't forget, I have a lot of suggestions, and I'm doing a bi-weekly show. So if you suggest something now, it could be a little while before I get to it. Also, I forget to mention this in every episode. I need to get in the habit of it. But my wife and I are doing a YouTube channel called Tasting NC, where we're tasting North Carolina food products, but we're also trying to expand into North Carolina restaurants and certain meals. It's just something we're playing with. You can find Tasting NC under the NC Everything Podcast YouTube channel. It's YouTube only, no podcast form. But definitely check it out. I think we got 3 or 4 episodes out now, and hopefully pretty soon we're going to record another one. So if you're interested in some extra NC Everything, definitely check out Tasting NC. And that's about it. So I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.